John and his friend Sam meet up for a drink. While they're out for a drink, his friend asks, "John, why aren't you married? You're around 38 years old. Can't you find a woman who will be a good wife?" John replied, "Actually, I found many women I wanted to marry, but when I bring them home to meet my parents, my mother doesn't like them." So Sam thinks about this for a moment and says, "I've got the perfect solution. Just find a girl who's just like your mother." So a few months pass. John and Sam meet up again, and Sam says, "Did you find the perfect girl? Did your mother like her?" With a frown on his face, John answers, "Yes, I found the perfect girl. She was just like my mother. You were right. Mother liked her very much." Sam said, "Then what's the problem?" John says, "My father didn't like her." So, today is Mother's Day. And I'm sure many of you have plans after service. You've booked a nice reservation at one of the restaurants down the road, or maybe you have something in the oven or in a crock pot right now. And we typically view today as a secular holiday. We wake up, we see today's Mother's Day, that's great. We come to church and think to ourselves, that's wonderful. But where's the spiritual side of things? What we often miss is that the spiritual side of things is right here in today's celebration. We often forget that this day, that motherhood, is something very important that God gives to us. I'm sure many of you have heard of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, and his hymn-writing brother, Charles. Anyone who's taken the time to read the history of these two Anglican ministers will never fail to see that behind these two figures stood who? Their mother, Susanna Wesley, of whom John Wesley said, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than all the theologians in England." Now, Susanna Wesley, she was a devout Christian mother. She had 19 children. Can you believe it? 19. And yet she found time to give each child 1 hour of religious instruction a week. And her sons, John and Charles, became priests in the Church of England, and together became prominent leaders in the Methodist revival. And then, of course, St. Mary, mother of our Lord, a chaste, holy woman whose heart and mind were dedicated to God. We read in the book of Acts that after the resurrection of her son, Mary is gathered with the apostles in the upper room, continuing steadfastly in prayer. She was a wife and she was a mother, but she was active. She was not a nun tucked away in a convent. You see, we have a tendency to think that priests, missionaries, friars, and nuns are the only ones who have a sacred calling. But Mary shows us that all of us, married or single, are called to the religious life, that there is no sacred or secular divide. You see, we create that division, don't we? Over here is my private Christian life. That over there is my worldly secular life. On the one hand, I have my work. I come home. I talk to my friends. I watch sports. I play video games. You know, all that over there. And then I go to the church on Sundays. So we have this division between the sacred and secular, and never the twain shall meet, right? But Mary shows us that the call to be a Christian mother, father, businessman, attorney, doctor, salesman, electrician is just as valuable and honorable as the call to be a pastor or missionary. That all of us are called to offer up ourselves Sunday to Sunday in the service of God. Commenting on the divide between the secular and sacred, English poet and playwright Dorothy Sayers had this to say. She says, "And nothing has the church so lost her hold on reality as in her failure to understand and respect the secular vocation. She has allowed work and religion to become separate departments and is astonished to find that as a result, the secular work of the world is tuned to purely selfish and destructive ends, and that the greater part of the world's intelligent workers have become irreligious, or at least uninterested in religion." But is it astonishing, she says, how anyone can remain interested in a religion which seems to have no concern with 9/10 of life? The church's approach to an intelligent carpenter is exhorting him not to be drunk and disorderly in his leisure hours and to come to church on Sundays. What the church should be telling him is this, she says, that the very first demand that his religion makes on him is to make good tables. Did you catch that? We must break once and for all the separation between the sacred and secular, between faith and life. The entire story of our lives is a worship and service to God. What does St. Peter tell us in his first epistle? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And commenting on this, 16th century reformer Martin Luther says, thus we are all consecrated as priests by baptism. A shoemaker, a smith, a peasant, every man has the office and function of his calling, and yet all alike are consecrated priests. So, what does that mean for mothers? Everything. Listen, that means when a mother loves her children, when she works to feed her family, changes the dirty diapers, wipes runny noses, pays the bills, and does it like Susanna Wesley, with a heart set on raising these children for God, she, like Mary, is in full-time Christian ministry and doing a priestly and a sacred service. Before closing, let me briefly add this. Don't let anyone make you feel guilty if you have the means to be a stay-at-home mom. And don't make anyone else guilty for doing so. God gives us motherhood, and it's one of the most important sacred callings and vocations in the world. God places mothers in the responsibility of raising children in the dominant values of the Christian faith, so that they might be instruments for the transformation of our world and to that kind of utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. In closing, may God continue to bless us with godly mothers like St. Mary. May God continue to bless us with mothers who emulate such virtues in their lives. Might we honor, love, and encourage those who do. Amen.